Please be seated. Thank you for that singing this morning. Let's turn to the book of Proverbs. You know, we're winding down our study here in this book. This will more than likely be our last theme. I'm not completely decided on that yet, but we'll go to a different study probably next week. But you know, we started the study in Proverbs on February 8th of 2024, and then after chapter 9, we started looking at different themes. And so the first theme that we looked at was God's sovereignty, and a wise son will embrace the sovereignty of God. So we started out with these themes with an attribute of God, and then I want to go, and again, like I said, more than likely, and I might change my mind by next week, but look at a few other different attributes of God that we see in Proverbs, namely his justice, his omniscience, and his love. But as we've looked at God's sovereignty, let me get my clicker to work. We've looked at the key verse. Anybody have this memorized yet? Nobody? Well, don't forget this verse. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. And that's been our springboard, because a high reverence for God is based on a relationship with God. And it's expressed through submission to God. And why do we do that? It's all for God's glory, right? It's for the glory of God. And so God's sovereignty, a wise son will embrace the sovereignty of God. And the sovereignty of God is seen throughout the book of Proverbs. I'm just going to quickly review God's sovereignty. God is the creator of all things. He's the maker. He's the creator. He's the owner. And so this theme is seen all throughout Proverbs. Proverbs 3, 19 and 20. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding he established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths were broken up and clouds dropped down the dew. Proverbs 22, 2, the rich and poor have this in common, the Lord is maker of them all. So God is the creator of all things, God has a purpose for all things. We see that in Proverbs 16, 4, I won't take the time to go there, but he also controls all things. You know, if you've turned the news on this week at all, you see the chaos that's going on. We have an election coming up, and I've experienced a little angst over that. We need to do our part. We need to vote. And we need to look at what these different politicians stand for. You know, you think of abortion and gay marriage. These should be a primary thing that we're looking at. But even if an election doesn't go our way, is God still in control? Kings, rulers sit in place only because God allows it. And God has a purpose. He controls all things. Rulers, you and I, his purpose will be accomplished. When we looked at God's sovereignty, we saw that God has a permissive will. And God's not the author of evil. And mankind has a will. We make choices. God allows us to make choices. And we face the consequences thereof. But God also has a perfect will that will come to pass. His perfect will not be thwarted. Proverbs 19:21 says, there are many plans in a man's heart, nevertheless the Lord's counsel that will stand. Proverbs 21:30, there's no wisdom or understanding or counsel against the Lord. And so a wise person will recognize the sovereignty of God. Now I want to again go to three other attributes of God. We're going to look at his justice, his omniscience, and his love. And then ultimately, what does this mean to us as we conclude our study in Proverbs? So let's pray, and then we'll dig into these attributes. Father, thank you for your word. I pray today that we'd be attentive to your word as we even look back at our study of Proverbs and in all of Scripture. We know that all Scripture is given by inspiration, and it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for instruction of righteousness. Your word is here to thoroughly furnish and equip us unto every good work. So Lord, may we heed the instruction from your word. As we conclude our study and look at these attributes of yours that belong to you, how should we respond to this? And so I pray that we'd be attentive today, that we'd apply what we learn, and that we'd walk out these doors today changed by your word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's justice, Proverbs is about justice. Look at Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Okay, why did he write these Proverbs? To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity. And so these Proverbs are to receive instruction, but also to receive instruction on justice and judgment and equity, to give prudence to the simple things, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. Again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. So Proverbs is about justice. We see this in the introduction. Proverbs is, first of all, it's practical. It's about wisdom. This includes the idea of common sense. It's intellectual. It's about skill. Secondly, it is we see this understanding and knowledge. So it's practical. It's intellectual. And it's also moral. It's self-control. It's discernment. It's to understand what is right, justice. It's to understand and to make correct judgments. It's about discernment. It's about being fair. We see equity. And so Proverbs is about justice. And you know, God is perfectly just. God is perfectly just. What God says is right. What He says is wrong is wrong. He's never unfair. Everything He does is right. Look at Proverbs 16:11. Proverbs 16:11 says, "Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His work." Honest weights and scales are the Lord's. All the weights in the bag are His work. So, if you go to the store now and you're going to buy something and they're going to weigh this out, maybe you're buying something by the ounce or by the pound. They have a digital scale, and you put it on there and it reads it out digitally. I was coaching wrestling. They had a scale, and that scale had to be certified every year to make sure that scale was accurate. It was on. In Old Testament times, they had a balance, and the owner, the one that's selling these goods, is supposed to have a scale. If you're buying something by the pound, there should be a 1 pound weight, and then all the goods would be placed here, and that would level out. You're getting a fair deal, a pound for a pound. All the Lord's weights, His scale, His balance is just. And so there's justice. This principle of justice and equity belong to God. He determines what is right. He's always right. He's never unfair. God is never dishonest. He is always perfectly just, and He never changes. Look at Proverbs 11, verse 1. Proverbs 11:1 says, "Dishonest scales are an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is His delight." Dishonesty, that's an abomination to Him. He hates it. He despises it. But God delights in honesty and justice. God is perfectly just. Proverbs 20, verse 10 says, "Diverse weights and diverse measures, they are both alike, an abomination to the Lord." So being dishonest, being unfair, God despises it. Unjust people. God hates unjustness. He hates it when things are not fair or equal. And so I learned to live right. I learned to discern what's right by having a heart change. Look at Proverbs chapter 2. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then what? Then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom from His mouth. Come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright." You can see the word He guards, He preserves. And so we learn right and wrong. We learn about justice and equity and fairness through the knowledge of God. Remember Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So is it okay, is it right, is it okay to take advantage of someone for personal gain? Is it right or isn't it? Few people are saying no. The rest of you, don't do a deal with you. All right. Anybody who's not saying it's wrong, don't do a deal with them. Their weight might be unjust. It's wrong. How do we know that? Proverbs 22:16. Let's take a look. Proverbs 22:16 says, "He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty." It's not right to take advantage of someone. It's not right to take advantage of someone for personal gain. He who oppresses the poor to increase his riches, and he who gives to the rich will surely come to poverty. Again, some of our politicians need to read this, right? Is it okay to accept bribes? Even if it's to beat the Packers. Got Packer fans over here. New ones joined us today. It's not okay to take a bribe. How do we know that? Proverbs 17:23, a wicked man accepts a bribe behind the back to pervert the ways of justice. It's not just to accept a bribe. People accept bribes, they know what's right and wrong, but they take a bribe, they'll do what's wrong for personal gain. It's wrong to accept bribes. How about pride and arrogance? Proverbs 21:4, a haughty look, a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked are sin. How about showing partiality? Is it okay to show partiality and treat one person this way and another person a different way? Is that right? Is that just? Is that fair? Proverbs 18:5, it is not good to show partiality to the wicked or to overthrow the righteous in judgment. And so God is perfectly just, and Proverbs is about justice. What is just and right and fair? We learn from God's Word these just a few things that we've looked at here. What does God say about our tongue? What does God say about unrighteous anger? We go to God's Word and we see what is right and just and fair. What is right? What is wrong? And God is perfectly just. So we learn in Proverbs that God is sovereign. We also learn in Proverbs that God is just, but we also see that God is omniscient. God's omniscience. And God is a spirit being, so He doesn't have a body with hands and feet and eyes. So when Scripture gives a human characteristic to God, such as the eyes of God, we're going to look at some verses that talk about the eyes of God. This is an anthropomorphism, giving a human characteristic to God. And these authors of Scripture do that so we can better understand. So Proverbs 5:21. Proverbs 5:21 says, "For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord." That's an anthropomorphism. God doesn't literally have eyes. He's a spirit being. But the author says, "The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he ponders all of his paths." What does that mean? As we look at this, God ponders our paths. Does God know where you're at right now? Does God know what you did this week? Does he know what you thought about this week? And so we see God's omniscience. God ponders our paths. And God sees the good and he sees the evil. Proverbs 15:3, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good." And God sees everything, the evil and the good that a person does. Now, where does the sun rise? How do you know? How do you know? Some of you have never seen the sunrise, have you? That's the best time of day. I love sunrises. I used to tell my daughters, I said, you think the sun starts here. They didn't want to get up till 9, 10 o'clock. That drives me crazy. We know it comes up in the east. Why? Because we've seen it. So we know what we see. How do we know that the sun sets in the west? Because we've seen it. How do we know the Vikings are better than the Packers? Because we've seen it. God sees the evil and the good. We know things because we've seen it. And that's why we see the ways of men are before the eyes of the Lord. What the author is saying, he's given a human characteristic to God because God sees, he knows everything. He's omniscient. He knows all. Nothing is hidden from God. He sees the good you do and he sees the evil you do. Look at Proverbs 15:11. Hell and destruction are before the Lord. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? And even hell and destruction are before the eyes of God. He knows everything that goes on. So how much more the hearts of the sons of men? One theologian made this statement. He says, judgment is just because his omniscience extends to every human heart. God's surveillance extends to the realm of the dead in the depths of the earth as remote from heaven as possible, and he will be met in every corner of this pitch black place, shrouded in mystery and secrecy and of no apparent value to humanity or God. Making connection again to his omniscience, he says this, how much more transparent to him are human hearts, which are now living in full view of heaven and serve his vital interests, even though they too are inescapable to human view. Turn to Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together. You've hedged me behind and before. You laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. Think about the omniscience of God. You think about his omniscience. You think about his omnipresence. God sees the evil and the good. Not only does he see our actions, but he knows our motives as well. Proverbs 17:3 says, the repining pot is for silver and the furnace for gold, but the Lord tests the hearts. Proverbs 21:2, every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. So God not only knows our actions, he not only knows what we do, but what we think. He not only knows, okay, so I do something good, but what was my motive? God knows our motives as well. You know, we can try and make excuses for wrong behavior, but the Lord weighs the heart. When you consider, stop and you think of the omniscience of God. Think that he knows your every thought. He knows every deed, the good and the evil. That's a sobering thought, isn't it? Isn't that sobering to stop and think that God knows everything that you've thought about this week? Everything you said, even the very thought? Every thought you had, every motive behind every deed or every word? But stop and think about this. God is loving. Yes, God's holy, God's just, God's omniscient. And he still loves us. Isn't that amazing? He knows everything about you. And when you stop and think of the omniscience of God, and that should be a sobering thought. But if our actions, thoughts, motives of this past week were all played out on a big screen, we might want to crawl under the chair in front of us. And maybe you're thinking, well, not me. But he even knows your self-righteousness. And yet God still loves us. God still loves you. He still loves me. He's just. He's omniscient, and He still loves us. You know, you look at this book, and it's full of commands, and Scripture's full of commands. Why are they here for us? Does God just want us to be miserable, and He's trying to keep us from fun? Is that the purpose of all the commands? And do you see God's love in Proverbs? And look at Proverbs 1:1-6 again. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. Why is he writing this? Because he wants you to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive instruction on wisdom, justice, judgment, equity, to give prudence to the simple. Why does he do this? And then look at verse 8, my son. That's a term of endearment. He's writing these things out of love for his son. You see that again in chapter 2, verse 1. My son. And he wants to see that his son is guarded and protected and has understanding of wisdom and justice and equity. God loves us. That's why we have this book. These warnings are out of love. God is loving. You know, this week I was speaking to someone and they're dealing with a nasty individual. And the arrogance, the manipulation, and this person is ungodly. And as I was listening to this person speak, I said, well, and you could hear in a voice a desire to even get revenge, you know, to treat that person back the same way. And I said, you know, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And so we can't look for revenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, I will repay. And the response was, well, why isn't he doing it then? Why doesn't he crush him like the cockroach that he is? And my response was, because God is gracious and loving and patient and kind, and He would rather see that person come to repentance than crush him. Isn't that amazing? Is God loving? I'm thankful that He is, or I'd get crushed like I deserve. God is a loving God. I'm thankful for His patience. And at the same time, God does see. God is omniscient. He does see the evil and the good. He does know our motives. And God is just. Thankfully, He's also loving as well. And so as we've looked at Proverbs and we look at all these different themes that we've looked at, anger, our words, family relationships, all these different things that we've looked at, and I'm reminded of God's sovereignty, His justice, His omniscience, and here His love. And this book, ultimately, why is this book as a whole written? So we can have the good life. Because a life apart from Jesus Christ isn't the good life, is it? We can't have the good life unless we have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. This book is written to show mankind that we're sinner and we need a Savior, Jesus Christ. I cannot have forgiveness. I can't be redeemed and reconciled unless God sent His Son to die in my behalf. But even as a believer, and you're forgiven and you're reconciled to God, but can you have the abundant life if you're not living for Him, if we don't heed the warnings in Proverbs? This book is written so we can have eternal life, but it's also written so we can have the abundant life. This book is written for us to have the good life. God loves us. And so we look at the sovereignty of God, we look at the justice of God, we look at the omniscience of God, we look at the love of God, and what can we conclude in this book? What conclusion can you come to from our study of Proverbs? As I was pondering that this week, as we wrap this study up, What does this mean? What does this mean to Steve Berg today? And here's the so what. I can trust God. Can't I? Can God be trusted? We can trust Him. I can trust God. I can take Him at His word. And that's the overall message of Proverbs, is that God can be trusted. These things are written so that we can have the good life. These things are written so why shouldn't I go near the harlot's house? Because that if I go that way, there's going to be destruction. There's going to be harm. God can be trusted, and that is the overall message of Proverbs. God can be trusted. He's sovereign. He's omniscient. He's just. He's loving. What He says about sexual immorality is true. What He says about unjust anger is true. What He says about our communication and our tongue is true. What He says about family relationships is true. What He says about alcohol is true. What He says about my tongue is true. God can be trusted. That's the overall message of Proverbs. Let's look at this fact that we can trust God. He who trusts God finds good and happiness. Look at Proverbs 16, verse 20. Proverbs 16, 20. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts in the Lord, happy is he. He who heeds the word wisely will find good, and whoever trusts the Lord, happy is he. You know, Dave read Psalm 1, blessed is the man, happy is the man. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. The ungodly are not so. If we trust God, we trust Him for our salvation. We trust Him in our daily walk. Blessed, happy is that man. Blessed is the man. He finds good and he finds happiness. Was the Apostle Paul, did he have joy in his life? Even in prison? Why? Because he trusted God. Joseph sold into slavery. Did he find happiness? Was he blessed? Yes, because he trusted God. Blessed is the man. He who trusts God finds good and happiness. He who trusts God finds success. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. I'm not preaching a prosperity gospel. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying if you trust God, you're going to be rich and famous and have all kinds of material things. God alone defines true prosperity. There's a lot of people, a lot of believers that are trusting God on a daily basis that don't have a lot of money, but they are prosperous, and God defines that. The one who trusts in God rather than his own reasoning will have peace and joy. And we follow God's will for our lives, and He makes our path straight. He has a goal for us. You won't suffer as an evildoer if you're trusting God and not leaning on your own understanding. He who trusts God finds prosperity. Proverbs 28, 25. He who is of a proud heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered. And again, Psalm 1. He'll be prospered. And again, God defines prosperity. We're not talking about man's definition of having a big bank account and all kinds of stuff. You know, if I ask the question today here, I don't think there's any millionaires in our midst. But there's people here that are blessed. We've been blessed beyond measure. Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. If you're trust, and the safest place for you to be as a believer is in the center of God's will. Do bad things happen to good people? Yeah. Do bad things happen to believers who are trying to serve the Lord? Yes. But again, Romans 8:28, is that a promise? All things work together for good to those who love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. And God's not the author of evil. But what God doesn't cause, He uses. God has a purpose and a plan, and God uses trials in our lives to shape and mold us. Nobody can harm me unless God allows it. If I'm in the center of God's will, that's nothing. He who trusts in the Lord shall be safe. He who trusts in the Lord will be protected. Psalm 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield. He is a protector to those who put their trust in Him. You might suffer, but you won't suffer as an evildoer. And you even go to 1 Peter, persecuted Christians. Praise be to God. And they're being persecuted, yet they can praise God. Turn to Proverbs 30 as we come to a close. Proverbs 30, verses 7 through 9, this is a prayer of Agar. Two things I request of you. Deprive me not before I die. Then he says, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me, lest I be full and deny you, and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. I love that prayer. Don't give me poverty or riches, God. Feed me with the food allotted to me. Provide for my needs, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? His prayer is that God would keep him dependent on Him. Just keep me dependent on you, Lord, lest I say, I don't need you. Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. May that be our prayer as we have walked through this book of Proverbs, as we see these commands that are given to us, as we see God's attributes, His sovereignty, His justice, His omniscience, and His love. May that be our prayer. God, keep me dependent on You so I never say I have no need of You. And we may not verbally say that, but how often do we live that way? Do we consult God with our decisions and our actions, the things we do? Or that we would not profane the name of our God. May that be our prayer. Proverbs 9:10, what does it say? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. A wise son will make his father glad. As we conclude this study, I'd encourage you, don't let the pages of Proverbs stick together. Stay in that book. Because a wise son makes his father glad. The more we know about our God, the more we understand the Holy One and apply it to our lives, we make our father glad. Is that your desire, that you'd make your father glad? Stay in the book of Proverbs. One of our youngest daughter, when she was little, we'd read a Proverbs. You know, there's 30 Proverbs, so we'd read a Proverbs a day. Every night, kneel beside her bed, open the Bible, read a proverb. She got it down so well that I would pause. So as I'm going through it, I'd say, his left hand is under my head and his right hand, and she'd say, embraces me. She could finish it. What if we stayed in that? If we knew the proverbs so well that as we're walking through each day, these proverbs are coming to mind. the knowledge of the Holy One, applying what we know about God, what God hates and what God loves, apply that to our life, we would make our Father glad. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word once again. Thank you for this book and just the opportunity that I've had to dig deeper into it. Lord, may we remember what we've learned. May our knowledge of you increase. And as Agar has prayed, Lord, I pray that you would keep us dependent on you so we would never say, Lord, I have no need of you. And that we would also, Lord, never profane your name. You are worthy of all glory and honor and praise. So I just pray that this book, I pray that this has had an effect on us and it would continue to change us as we walk out these doors today. Lord, you're worthy of glory and honor and praise. And may that be our response today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Right.